Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the RU Lawn Wrap-Up Podcast for the finale. I am Brian Cohn. Here with me, as always, is my co-host, Al Escher. Ali, how are you?
Thank God it's Friday night, and I
I'm feeling it. I'm feeling it. I'm excited. I'm happy for the cast. We have so much to talk about. They just got paid. It's probably close to Friday when you guys are listening to this. I'm stoked to get into it. Brian, how are you? How are you feeling?
I'm doing much better. I got better by listening to your wonderful interview with Tyler. Everyone should go check it out. It was a very good job. And I'm doing much better now. Happy to not be feeling awful. I'm happy to be podcasting.
Glad to have you back. Things got a little hairy without you. Tyler was super candid, super generous with his time. It was an awesome interview. We talked about a lot of things going on, including, well, he said some things that are a little bit offensive. So, you know, all thoughts and opinions are his own. But also, we did talk about a common problem today, or at least a pattern going on in these kind of romantic reality TV shows. With race. So it did lead to some issues. So Tyler may or may not have implied that part of the reason that he had an issue forming connections on the show was that the girls that may have been interested in him weren't interested in a relationship with an African-American guy or hadn't been used to that. I think that's what he said. Anyway, that caused quite a stir because, as you imagine, people don't like other people calling them or implying that they may be racist. So Melanie did a lot of tweeting about this. Kiki also was upset. First of all, Melanie just tweeted, like, I'm pulling it up, lol at T Boogie, something like that. Let's see. I don't know how to use the iPhone. I don't know how to use the iPhone to get to albums. The pictures just keep getting smaller and smaller. You know what I'm talking about?
Is this just me? I think it's just you.
All right. All photos. Albums. All right, forget it. This is a huge fail. All right, regardless, I'm just going to go on memory. So Melanie tweeted, lol, to you being the only one who wanted to be my match, haha, hashtag subtweet, lol, to being called a racist, hashtag subtweeting. Kiki wrote, let's just go to a deserted island because apparently we were just horrible human beings. And then Tyler, unless there was something else going on, tweeted, if I really wanted to hurt your feelings, would you think I would come at you? Wouldn't you think I would come at you more directly? Hashtag food for thought. So take a listen to the interview. Let us know what you think. And we got a couple of new 5-star reviews.
Woohoo!
Okay, so one of them is from cha-cha-cha. Now I'm finding the tweets when I wanted to find the reviews. You know, this is the story of my life. All right. From Podcasting Addict, titled, Are You the One? This person says they listen to all of the Rehab reality podcasts, but Brian and Ali are my favorite pair. He did specify that Jordan Parhar is his favorite, or his or her favorite individual. But we're the best pair, so we'll take that. We'll take that. All the pairs are good. We're just kidding.
That niche. We're taking that hold.
And then, so thank you, Podcasting Addict, for your review. And then we also got a 5-star review from This Is My One from W.L. Waller. And their only complaint is that they're not our third co-host. And we're taking applications because Brian, I mean, who knows?
Yeah, I'm going to need a
replacement.
I'm going to need a backup on call, an on-call podcaster.
And then we got what I think is the funniest review I've ever read. On our thread or anyone else's, from Jenny Holgrain, subject awesome podcast. I love to listen to this podcast while doing various activities, such as putting together puzzles, making miniature donuts, or eating a free apple or a free banana. I could listen to Brian and Allie talk about this show forever. Not all heroes wear capes. 5 stars. Thank you, Jenny Holgrain.
I have so many questions. Why is it only miniature donuts that she makes? What type of puzzles does she put together? And does she only eat free fruit and not, does she ever pay for fruit?
Jenny Holgrain, if you'd like to be interviewed by Brian, he's willing to take the time.
I have so many questions about these activities.
If you want to compete for funniest 5... iTunes, subscribe, leave us your reviews, or you can subscribe to the Wrap Up Network and listen to all of the great pairs and individuals doing shows there. Without further ado, Brian, are you ready to dig into the shit that was the last 2 hours and 4 minutes of Are You the One?
Let's jump right into the people that Cheyenne describes as the stupidest people she's ever been around. She's never seen stupidity this up close before.
And it's so real.
it seemed really, really, really real for a long time, up until the very end, that this group really did seem like quite the bunch.
Could you say real one more time for everyone?
Real.
Just to clarify.
Really real.
This is the new real world. Yeah. So this is like Austin is blaming Tyler, saying the one who screwed it up. And we know, because we have the benefit of having watched the last 2 hours and 4 minutes, that really Mike screwed it up last week.
Definitely.
Beyond what Mike screws up this week, Mike was the real issue here.
Yeah, he should have been the one to pick Kiki, and then Tyler was one who was holding the bag, but it wasn't really his fault. But he was just the last one to go, and he caught the wrath of Brittany and the rest of the house.
And then finally, at the 11th hour, we're hearing someone say that if Alec and Stacey go into the truth booth, we know a lot more, you know, about Kiki.
Yeah, seriously, where were you guys the last 4 or 5 weeks? I mean obviously you can't hear us preaching it, but they should have figured it out on their own.
All right, I mean,
then at least they woke up.
We could say that. You could say that. You did say that.
I did say that. I'm standing by that bold comment I just made.
So this is a controversial opinion. What are your opinion on toe thumbs? What's your opinion?
I have literally never thought about
them. Too
slow,
man. You must have an opinion. How have you not lived in this world and confronted someone about their toe thumbs?
I guess I just don't live in the same world. I never even heard of that expression until now. And I don't even have any opinion about it at all.
In fairness, I have to confess, my boyfriend has toe thumbs, and he didn't know it until I mercilessly teased him about it and made him aware of the phrase, too. So maybe it's just sweeping the nation because I'm just spreading it everywhere I go.
You just love popping the bubble wrap on people's lives and really making them realize this huge revelations that they have to deal with.
I've been doing it since high school, man, and I don't have any plans to stop. Anyway, what I've never seen is that Kayla has one toe thumb. Incredible.
A singular toe thumb.
Talk about having questions. I have so many questions, but we'll move on to the main point of the scene, which is the flirtation between Mike and Kayla.
And it was cute, I guess. Somewhat. I'm kind of surprised Mike doesn't know what Megan Fox looks like. That was kind of a weird revelation also. But I guess it was cute. I don't know how Kayla's matured. That was his big revelation, that he thought Kayla matured, but sure, why not? We can go with that.
As expected, I took the scene the entirely different way.
Okay, go for it.
First, I thought she was saying I have thumbs like Megan Fox, because I do also know that Megan Fox has toe thumbs.
I thought you were saying my thumb looks like Megan Fox.
No. She's saying her thumb is like Megan Fox's thumb to make her feel better about having toe thumbs, because Megan Fox is gorgeous and has toe thumbs. People with toe thumbs, come out of the shadows. It's okay. It means your thumb looks like a big toe.
I understand the comment. That was not my questioning of what
that
it
wasn't
meant.
Just for your benefit. Okay. That was for the people of the podcasting world.
All right. I'm sure they're very appreciative. Toe thumb is a very confusing name.
It could be like a pinky toe thumb, and then it's like, whoa, tiniest thumb ever. But I digress.
A little bit.
So the other way I took this wrong way is, all right, I couldn't stand the way that Mike is like, I like this more than I like that. And then, of course, as expected, Mike starts being like, oh, I made such a huge mistake sleeping with her. I like Kayla. It's real. And it's like, watch the show, man. Like, you're just an asshole. Anyway,
I did not think he was like an asshole for that at all. I thought he was just like, oh, you know what? I probably shouldn't have just gone back to her. I want to try to start pursuing something else, and I screwed up. And that's it.
I guess that's fair. It just bothered me that he's saying to one of Amanda's best friends that I like you more than I like her. It's like, why do you even have to get involved here? Because the reason I think he's an asshole is because I can't understand why we're seeing these moments between Mike and Amanda, and we're seeing Mike the first few weeks like, I'm gonna move and be your barista, and then now it's like, oh, what a crazy bitch. Like, I guess I'm still not over that, but I guess that's fair. I knew he'd have regret, but I guess I just knew he was gonna make it like, I just wish he could own it and be like, yeah, I slept with her, but we're not in a relationship, as opposed to like, what a horrendous mistake, she's disgusting.
Well, he didn't say that. He said he made a mistake. I thought that's exactly what he did. He's like, we're not a match. I made a mistake, and she's going to kill me for it, but I made a mistake.
I mean, fair enough. You know what? We're going to have plenty to talk about with Mike as we move on. So let's just like toss this aside and get into the challenge.
Yeah, let's go to the challenge. This was, did he give a name for the challenge? I didn't catch a name for it, but it was untying knots. Each partner on opposite ends, and you each have to untie a knot and meet in the middle and give a big hug to top three finishers win. And this time they actually did come together at the side. Stacey and Alec have to win. They are going to let Stacey and Alec win.
Yeah, and I mean, when we get the intro line of, we decided as a team that Alec and Stacey are going to go into the truth booth, it's a classic sign that they're not going to go into the truth booth.
Right. It's if Survivor tries to do the little misdirect, Are You the One does it like beat you over the head with the misdirect, which is why we'll talk about it later. But I was pretty confident going in that they were going to win, and it was annoying. But yeah, this was classic. All right, Stacey's going to win. Uh-oh, Stacey's definitely not going to win.
But this, I mean, this is actually what I think is interesting about episodes 9 and 10 is these are kind of the episodes we've been asking for, right? Like, why aren't they arranging the game? Here's what it would look like if the challenges were always arranged. And to a certain extent, I liked this. I liked that they were trying. I can't fathom for the life of me why they didn't make it happen. But and we'll get into that. But I wouldn't want to see every single challenge orchestrated like this, or it would just be like in Survivor, you brought up, you know, when they're doing that rope chop challenge and they just decide who's going to win. And then Jeff, you know, they all elected Missy the winner. Like, that would be so lame every single week.
Right. But I think there's a time and a place for it. You know, week two or three, there's no real couple that's dying that needs to go in. But when you're near the end and you're really struggling, there is a time and a place for it. And it's also a scenario where we saw with like Zach saying to Hannah, like, there's three spots, we can win one of them, just they have to finish third. So there's also that.
Yeah, I mean, sorry, to be completely honest, I just got distracted because we got about like 10 more questions on Facebook in like 2 seconds.
Holy shit. But
so I was like, that was rude of me. I can't even pretend that I heard what you said.
It's okay. It wasn't that good anyway.
But no, it was. Was it about the fact that it's not a big deal that Zach and Hannah finished?
Yeah, it's not a big deal.
So I completely agree. I'm not mad at you, Zach. Like, you shouldn't feel like you have to tell people the first two people to finish, fine. But if you don't finish one or two, you're not going on the date.
Right. Exactly. Exactly.
I mean, Austin, my God, that was in retrospect, it's not that big a deal because Brittany and Hunter could go in and it would be fine. But it just like pissed me off that Austin prides himself on this strategist, being a strategist. And then all of a sudden he's like, oh, like Zach did it, so I could do it too. Like, no, you idiot. If you finished a little sooner, then yeah, you could have done it, but you didn't. You're slow and you lost.
And it makes me wonder, like, maybe how long were they out there with Stacey trying to untangle knots? And it was like, Stacey's just never going to figure this out. Let's just be the ones to win. If someone's going to do this, eventually someone's going to cave, and let's just be the ones to do it. Because, I mean, see, it looked like Stacey was going backwards, honestly.
I mean, it did look like a lot of the other girls were just like waiting in their blocks. I don't know. Like, for like when Kiki says, like, I'm just going to go slow because like we're trying not to win. We want Stacey to win, and we're like Mel's with the chum and like still putting her face in the bucket. I wonder if there's like some sort of rule where you have to participate in the challenge. Like, you can't just sit down. Like, what's stopping all of them from just sitting down for as long as it takes? Like, who cares?
I think it's just their own boredom and their own competitiveness. That's really all it is their pride, their ego.
I don't know. I don't agree with it. Like, I see what you're saying, right? There's no other reason, but I just was wondering, like, why can't it be like, in, you know, in Big Brother, there's a part where the guy wants to throw the challenge. So he just doesn't participate. He sits on the ground and says, you can do it by yourself. Right. And like, that's what I wanted. I wanted all of them to just like sit down and
pick up your tiles and help me.
Drop your stack. All right. So this is what was interesting is now we go back to, all right. So I guess who won, right? We already said it, but
yeah. Zach and Hannah, Brittany and Hunter, and Austin and Kayla.
And we get back to Amanda and Mike, and they're in the same outfits they were in before the challenge. So there's like a little bit of an editing mix up here.
Oh, I didn't catch that. Good call.
I just noticed because like Amanda had some really striking pants on, but all right. Anyway, now Mike's coming here. He's in the same outfit he was kissing Kayla in. So now, and Amanda walked into the room awkwardly. So this happened like right after that. Mike's coming in to tell her that he kissed Kayla. Now, I mean, this was like a peck. I got so distracted by the toe thumbs, we didn't even mention that they kissed. But This is like, from what Zach told us in his interview, he pecked everyone in the house. How big of a deal was this kiss? And do you think Mike was really telling her out of respect for her? Or was it just another way to like fire her up as he's been doing all season?
No, this was definitely him. He wasn't trying to fire her up at all. No, this was him. His mind was he's going to try to show her respect and tell her that he kissed someone else before she sees it from someone else or sees it when it eventually airs on TV. Now, this was I don't think there was any way he was trying to get her fired up and get her to flip out.
The only thing I can think here is my thought is she did walk in. So he was a little bit busted. And also, I think he wanted kind of like permission to move forward more than just a peck. So it's like if I talk to her about it and she's OK with it, then I get clearance with Kayla to do whatever I want.
Maybe. Yeah, I mean, I think that was ultimately the goal he was hoping would come out of that. But he definitely wasn't hoping to get any type of negative reaction. I mean, he was hoping that she'd be like, OK, we're done. And then that'd be the end of it. But that's not Amanda. So that was not going to happen.
And it's so clear that Amanda's really drunk here. And I don't know if
you could drop here, but yeah.
I don't know if this was, I don't know if Mike couldn't find a better time because Amanda was always drunk or if he should have found a better time.
Yeah, nailed out of the first one, too. And also, would there be a time where he wasn't drunk? So, I mean, it's like, do you think there was ever a point now so they both were sober?
He seemed to have a shit together here for the majority of the time. Like, I don't think he was as drunk as her. And I mean, she also started drinking more heavily when she heard this. So it was only downhill for her.
Oh, for sure. Definitely.
But which I struggle with here is the Mike and Kayla kiss was nothing compared to the Amanda and her ex kiss.
Right. Definitely. And I mean, Amanda's as she says, she's a hothead. She pops off and you give her a little spark and she's going to go nuts. And that's what happened.
So I mean, I couldn't
she'll admit she was a hypocrite about the whole thing. But I mean, there's nothing you can do about it.
I couldn't even like make out what she was saying. It was more F-bombs than Wolf on Wall Street. Like Wolf of Wall Street.
Every word was bleeped. Bleep, bleep.
It was out of control.
Bleep, bleep.
Then she goes, keeping with her NSYNC theme, you know, bye, bye, bye.
Yeah.
All over his face, pushing a Red Solo Cup in his face. The first key moment for Red Solo Cups here. It was a great episode for Red Solo Cups.
Epic. Yeah. Too bad they didn't license that stuff. They could have got a nice little logo, got some money off that. Red Solo Cups all over the place.
One thing I think would have benefited Mike here is one thing we asked Tyler about in the interview with him is, you know, or one thing he mentioned was that he's an angry guy, but like the way he could deal with Brittany, like snapping at him and everyone snapping at him was just to like laugh it off. When Amanda puts on that like straw hat and is like, bitch, F with me in this hat. I wish Mike could have laughed at this, right?
Like, he was, though.
It was
though. That's
so
the
ludicrous,
thing.
The whole thing, that I wish he could have just laughed.
He was laughing. That was the funny, not the funny part, but that was the crazy part. He was starting to like, oh, he's like, oh, you're going to steal my comforter next? Oh, my God. And he was like laughing. And then he kept going and going and going and going and going. And he stopped laughing.
I don't know. I didn't read that as laughing, but I see what you're saying. Like, yeah, he was definitely more, I think he was just trying to like zen out and he couldn't get there. Because then he starts saying that she's garbage, right? And I'm not saying that Amanda was provoked, and I'm not saying that Mike shouldn't have retaliated verbally. You know, I'm not saying that. But he did call her garbage, right? Like, he was getting angry.
In a very, like, backwards, cool way, if you're going to call someone garbage. He's like, oh, you're garbage. He had, like, a you thought of a creative way to say it. You got to give him credit for that.
I'm not giving him credit for a creative way to call someone garbage.
It was creative.
I mean, he did it earlier in the season, too. This is why it's not creative. It's tired, because he did it in a couple episodes ago. The last time he called her garbage, he did something like that, too. Yeah, because I was like, well, if Leroy's your garbage man, like, he could take out the trash. He called her garbage in one of their last fights. In a sort of creative way. Like, I don't waste my time on trash. Like, so, you know, he never says, like, you're trash, but he implies trash is implied.
Trash implied.
I don't know. All right. So then he snaps. There's like a clear moment where Mike goes from dealing or tolerating this to snapping. And he like kind of hits her over the head with a pillow and then just kind of grabs her by the throat and chucks her onto the bed. Controversial moment.
Yeah, I mean, not what you want to see, but I mean, there's so many factors into this that is like, as Mike says right afterwards, like, there's so many people around there, and it's like, someone just got to be like, all right, enough, and just pull Amanda aside. Like, Chuck and Brittany are laughing about getting popcorn together. Like, it's like, I understand it, but at a certain point, this had to be going on for so long. Just take Amanda out of the room. Like, come on. End it. You had your entertainment. Like, someone's got to just, like, step up and be like, all right, this is it. It's over.
Yeah, Mia Pia wanted to know, do you think Zach, Chuck, Hunter, and or whoever else was in the room should have stepped in to defuse the situation between Mike and Amanda before it got to the level that it did? What about the producers?
The producers weren't going to step in. Producers don't step in until they absolutely have to, because it ruins the shot for them, probably. So someone on the cast would have to do it. So I don't blame the producers for not stepping in until the end, but someone like Chuck or Zach or someone would have to step up. And enough of them calling it was a sorority fight, because they're hitting with each other with pillows. Like, you can see when something's escalating. And the second Mike swings that pillow really hard at Amanda and then gets up, someone steps up and intervenes.
So Kristen Knarr, and this is kind of moving into how I feel, my reaction to this. Kristen Knarr, if Mike was the one belligerently screaming, hitting Amanda in the face with a cup and pillow and tearing her bed apart, would the situation have been shut down much sooner? The double standards were painful. Yeah, I mean, I agree. I mean, I think it's like point blank. It's like why Chuck automatically is like, you never hit a woman, you've lost friends, like, fuck you, bro, basically. And I don't blame him for having that reaction at all. But the truth is that basically there was nothing Amanda could have done. I mean, Amanda could have like slapped him in the face, and I'm sure everyone still would have said, like, you don't touch her, and you never touch her. Mm-hmm. But I think the conversation that Mike and Amanda have later on about how it was both of their faults, and it's not an excuse, but she acted inappropriately and he acted inappropriately. And that's the truth. In my opinion, I think this was very, so AJ at Lil Axe 15 on Twitter wanted to know, what's your opinion about the whole Mike and Amanda situation? Amanda's getting a lot of heat. This really, really reminded me of Naya.
Last season.
Yeah. Just in terms of just like, then picking and picking and picking and picking and picking. And like, I could have seen if Jordan was a different guy, this going the same way, right? Like, where Naya was just doing everything to the line of short of like punching him in the face. Like, there is something to be said about mental and emotional abuse. I mean, Amanda was nonstop. And I didn't agree with Chuck saying, like, you or Zach saying you remove yourself in the situation, because Mike did. He went into the bedroom and he was lying down going to bed.
I also, not to cut you off, but I also don't need to hear from Chuck about being the moral high ground in this situation. Like, I understand he can have that point, but they could choose someone else to show saying that. I don't need to see Chuck saying that at that moment.
I think that's fair. But the reality is, what Mike did was scary, right? Like, I knew what Amanda was doing was annoying me as a viewer. Like, it was ridiculous. But then when, and this happened before, it's funny, this happened, Mike pushed her before, and we talked about it. And I even said to one of my friends, Johnny Langan, who usually asks a lot of great questions, shout out to Johnny, I was like, why didn't we get MTV saying, if you're affected by violence, you know, go to MTV, whatever, when Mike just shoved her? Do you remember that?
I don't think so.
Mike gave her a hearty push. in one of their last fights, when he called her trash last time, he gave her a hearty push. Mm. And that kind of went undetected or unannounced. No one really said anything about it. And so I think Mike kind of really got off easy for that, because this whole stir could have happened just from that push in my eyes. This was scary. I mean, he grabbed her by the neck and tossed her. And people are saying, oh, he threw on her bed. No. It's not where she landed. I don't think he would have cared where she landed. He went red and he wasn't thinking about it, which is the scary part.
I mean, look, there's obviously no, like, you, but what Mike did is obviously wrong. But like I was saying, I think Amanda's almost equally as wrong. I mean, obviously, Mike's going to get the brunt of it because the guy doesn't put his hand on a woman than ever. But Amanda did as much as you could to provoke someone to like doing something as what Mike did. And she has to take fault for that.
And I mean, so she didn't hit him.
I mean, she did a lot of stuff. She threatened to hit him over the head with a bottle. She kept pushing stuff into his face. She wouldn't get out of it. He kept saying, leave me alone, leave me alone, leave me alone, leave me alone. At some point, someone either has to make her leave her alone or she just has to leave him alone.
I understand, but I don't know your limits. I know a lot of guys that would never have come to this, no matter what someone was doing, you know?
No, I mean, and I don't think I would, but I'm just saying I could, like, she should not know him. That's not, but like, you have to know the environment you're in with how much alcohol is going on, that something bad could happen. And so that's why even more so someone else has to pull Amanda aside. These aren't two sober, rational people in this moment.
Right. But you want to feel like you can be wasted in front of someone that you've slept with and he's not going to like wrap his hand around your neck and throw you. But I think at the end of the day, everyone's got to keep their hands to themselves, male, female. I think you saw Mike's immediate like remorse, right? Like he immediately wanted to get out of the situation in terms of like it happened. And then he started, you could just see the Rolodex spinning in his head of just like, why didn't you guys take her off me? Like, why didn't this happen? Why didn't that, like, you know, excuse kind of thing. But overall, I think Mike handled himself as best he could, probably the best out of anyone who's ever been in a situation like Absolutely. This on MTV.
Yeah, I wrote that. I thought he handled it perfectly, as well as you could after that situation. In terms of, I mean, he didn't choose to leave, but he didn't put up a struggle to leave. And when he came back to the house, he was very apologetic. I believed every word he said, like in terms of him, like he said like he's no excuse, but there are some excuses, but he made a mistake and I felt like he was sincere about that.
Yeah, and then, I mean, it's a tough spot because then Amanda starts, I mean, obviously for Amanda, this is going to bring up past abuse experiences if she's been in situations of abuse, which she has been. So she starts talking about that. And this is when Nelson is bringing up, why did no one get her out of there? And Zach is just, the more I talk about it, the more upset I am that they weren't removed, that Amanda wasn't removed from the situation, that no one pulled Amanda away. I don't even mean when Mike got up. I mean, when she started rolling him over on the bed. Mm-hmm. Like, and ripping up his sheets, someone should have brought her out of there.
Definitely.
All right. So, yeah, Mike comes back on his apology tour and he doesn't like the person he is in the house and he's heading home. He makes it seem like he chose to leave. But is this someone who got fired saying they resigned, or did he actually choose to leave?
I don't know. I was thinking about that, too. I think he did choose to leave because I don't think they want to. This is not a show where you really want to kick someone out. And especially at this late in the game, I don't think they really wanted to kick him out. I think they had a discussion about it, and I think he chose to leave.
There was a tweet. I agree, but there was a tweet that I'm looking for now because I screen capped it. Well, one thing actually, Mike tweeted, just wish the producers of the show would have taken half of your opinions into consideration. By no means do I condone my behavior, but sending me home really hurt. I just hope my second family can pull it all together for all of us, Ohana. So it seems like he's saying he got sent home.
Okay, so there it is. He got sent home. Never mind.
Now, what do you make of that? Do you agree?
I don't agree. I think, unless Amanda, I mean, this is between her and him and Amanda in the end of it, and if she says, like, I don't feel safe, I want him gone, then yeah, then it's a different story. But this is just a matter of the producer saying, no, you're out. I don't think I really agree with it.
It was weird that there wasn't, like, a house vote, you know, like we've seen in the real world before. There's precedent for it, right? Like, who feels uncomfortable with him in the house. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't just a shove, right? It was, his hand was wrapped around her neck and he tossed her. It was just as bad as people who've gotten removed for punching someone in the face, in my opinion, in terms of not necessarily damage done, but aggression, violence, like a level of violence. So I don't blame them for tossing him out. Maybe that's why they let him say he was choosing to leave, or maybe now he's just changing the story. Who knows?
Mm-hmm. I mean, we've definitely seen people get kicked out for less, and we've seen people stay for doing more. So it's
fair,
I mean,
enough.
MTV has it both ways.
All right. So it is true, though, that's unique in this situation from the other shows. Like when he's saying, what girl would want to talk to me? What girl wants to stand up at a matchup ceremony with me? Like, knowing that Kiki's his match, right? But they match up at the next two ceremonies. What is Kiki supposed to do? Like, I pick Mike. Like, I think he's my perfect match because he's really sweet. You know, it's a tough spot for this, like, love story show.
No, it absolutely is. And it's kind of, I didn't even think about that, about in terms of why Mike wants Lee, but he got sent home just because he didn't think any of the girls would talk to him about all that. And it's a fair point. Like, I didn't think about that. But yeah, for the girl, whoever at to pick him, I don't know how you would respond. I don't know.
And this is actually what you were getting to, the point of what you were saying with Chuck, where Chuck starts saying, like, oh, he lost my trust, I don't buy his apologies, like, whatever. It's amazing. And this is a really interesting and if not important episode, because it's amazing how people feel about emotional abuse versus physical abuse.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Mike tosses her by the neck, completely horrible, and gets written off for life. Devin systematically manipulates and emotionally abuses Kiki. And Chuck's like, Devin, come on now, relax, man. Chuck, like, come on, be careful.
Chuck and Big D.
And so it's like, I'm not comparing the two, but I'm not comparing the two. And it's just very interesting to see the disrespect and emotional abuse that's been allowed to go on and how they feel so black and white about physical violence.
Because you can see the result of physical violence. You can't see it with emotional.
One question I have. So then Mike and Amanda have this, like, really, you know, kind of like sad, sincere, sentimental talk. I mean, again, Mike did a good job here. And I did think it was genuine. When Amanda's saying, like, I want you to know I would have given up everything for you and it broke my heart, did she mean the Kayla kiss that started this or the fact that he got violent with her?
I think the violence.
Okay.
That's what I think.
I wasn't sure.
Yeah. I guess it could. I guess it's really both. I mean, because the kiss led to the violence. So I guess it's really both.
Is this revisionist history when she's saying, I could have shared my life with you, I could have been in love with you? Is now that it's over, like, I've been that way, right? When something ends, it's like, oh my God, wait, that was the love of my life, I was going to marry them. But it's like, no, it's just because you broke up with them. You know, like, was this real, genuine feelings from Amanda? And if so, were they reciprocated from Mike? Ever,
I would tend to believe it was revisionist history, because when you're living in a house with someone for 30 days, it's like easier to say I'm going to go move in with wherever they are than actually go do it. So I'm tend to believe that it wouldn't actually have happened. But I mean, stranger things have happened. So maybe they would have done something, but I tend to believe not.
Maybe it was just the editing, but we totally got the impression that Mike, like, lost interest in her, like, what, like week 3 or 4?
Basically.
I don't remember the weeks, but early on.
Basically, whenever they had that big fight. Like, that was it for him, really.
So, Amanda's saying she feels like she should leave, too. And Alex Pandemaran wants to know, as we touched on, do you think Amanda should have been kicked out also for provoking the confrontation with Mike?
No, I don't think she should have been kicked out. I mean, she says, like, I think I should leave, too. Like, you could leave. Like, I don't think they were forcing her to stay. She felt she could have, should have left. She probably could have just left, but I don't think she should have got kicked out.
Then I think they all knew that Mike actually got kicked out then, right? Because that's kind of why she's saying that. Like, if he was just leaving on his own choices, then why would she say, I feel like I should leave too? Then it's like, okay, exactly what you're saying. Leave with me.
Yeah. That would have really fucked up everything. But no.
I mean, if Mike had said, leave with me, I want to be with you, maybe she would have left. But Mike was just like, we have to get away from, like, each
from
other.
What's his name with the Bachelorette? The one who left to go be with the one. I don't remember any names. The one who wasn't selected to be Bachelorette.
His name was like Bryce or Brody.
Who was the non-Bachelorette? I don't even remember the name of the Brittany.
Britt. What was his last name? Anyway, they're not together anymore. Update. Spoiler alert.
Are the Bachelorette and the, what's his name?
No, that's what I'm talking about. Oh, Caitlin and Sean? Yeah, dude.
Okay, good. I believe in those.
Brady. His name was Brady. Okay. Anyway, so to answer a quick question from Sue Cohen, does Mike still get his share of the money? Yes, it's confirmed. Mike still got his his cash.
Oh, okay. How did you confirm that?
So I actually sent some feelers out and got confirmations, but someone also asked Mike, and Mike has been like overactive on Twitter, and he said, thank God he still gets the money.
That would have sucked.
Maybe they just like bought him out. They were like, look, man, it's a tough spot. We'll let you say that you want to leave and we'll still give you the money. And he was like, all right, fine.
Maybe they bought out the entire cast.
What do you think should have happened? Like, I was thinking that they should have let Mike say he was going to leave on his own, but have him stay in a hotel and show up for the matchups and then leave as though he was like in the honeymoon suite.
They could have done that. I don't understand why they let him save face. It's kind of a weird MTV move. They've never really done that with anyone else before, that they would say he's leaving if he's actually being kicked out. So that's an odd choice by MTV.
Well, maybe they didn't want to kick Amanda and Mike out, and the only way to justify that would be for Mike to say he's leaving on his own.
There's a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff that I would like to be privy to, or just curious would be privy to, but we'll never know for sure.
Well, we are excited to announce that we'll be interviewing Kiki next week, so maybe she'll have some more scoop on that.
Hopefully, I can actually show up for that one.
We'll see. Knock on wood. All right, so a way less interesting plot line, the date. Not that this violence was an interesting plot line, but this four-wheeler date.
I can say for certainty the date was not an interesting plot line.
All right, moving swiftly on, the voting.
There we go.
One thing I thought was funny is when Chuck votes for Zach and Hannah, it's clearly, oh, I just dropped my mic. It's clearly a selfish vote. Like, you don't want Brittany to leave. That's why you're not voting in Hunter and Brittany. Don't give me this. You think Zach and Hannah have a real connection.
Well, I mean, they do, but that's not the reason, right?
No, no, I'm saying, Chuck, don't give me that. Like, yeah, you're clearly voting for him to keep Brittany.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
At this stage in the game, it would literally be like 2 days, or they wouldn't even leave the this time they would. It'd be leave. 3 days, three days apart.
I mean, these people can't sit 3 hours apart at a matchup ceremony, so let alone 3 days.
Fair enough. All right. So on this date, Hunter, I'm so sick of Hunter's tired lines.
Like, oh, my God. I said the same. I wrote the same thing.
Even the way he said it was robotic.
He's almost like one of those people where if you pull a cord on the back of his back, he'll just start spewing the same stuff over and over again.
There's a snake in my boot. Yeah,
exactly. Oh, my God. Oh, that's a beautiful view, but you sure can make any view beautiful.
I actually liked Brittany here when she's like, I want you, but I'm not going to need you. Like, I'm independent and Hunter needs a dependent girl. Like, I had a lot of respect for Brittany's reasoning there.
Oh, absolutely. Totally agree.
All right, so then we have this, like, Zach and Hannah love story. This is, like, a first for her. He's falling for her. Good for them.
Good for them.
That's, like, my only reaction.
And they literally don't even show Austin and Kayla, right?
They did on the four-wheeler, where basically all of Kayla's reactions to various men are, ooh, that's manly. I like that.
Surprising.
She says it twice about two different guys.
Right. All that she really likes, she's the first thing that's sparks her eyes, like, oh, that's why we're a perfect match, and she twists it back to her, so good for her.
When we get to the deliberation, this, like, I was coming around on Ryan last week. Oh, sorry, did you have something else?
No, that's all I got.
All right, so I was coming around on Ryan last week, but boom, like, right back to square one, because he comes in and it's like when someone quits Survivor, gets medevaced, like Jeff Probst comes in and like he gives you the rundown. Ryan is just like, Mike will no longer be living here. The game remains the same. And I'm just like, that explains absolutely nothing. When he said that, I was like, where will he be living? Will he be coming back for the matchups? Everything's the same. Literally nothing was the same. Like, it couldn't have been a worse explanation for what was going to happen. And for something that's an unprecedented situation like this, they owed us more of an explanation here.
I have to imagine they gave the cast more of an explanation. They just didn't feel it was warranted to give us.
Fuck the cast. I want to know what's going on. I'm expected to understand the show. What the hell?
That's a good point. Why couldn't he just come back for the matchup ceremonies? The whole thing was weird.
All right. So one thing I thought was funny is they're sending Brittany and Hunter into the truth booth. And when they do the little vote that goes across the screen of will they be a perfect match, it's pretty much 50-50 the whole time. And I'm like, true. Like, nobody knows. It is about 50-50.
Yeah, sounds about right.
So we thought.
They are not a match. Drumroll. Opposite of drumroll.
No real big surprise there.
I liked how they did this the cutaway of Stacey and Alex celebrating before the commercial, as if that was supposed to make us believe that they were a match. But obviously that makes us believe that they're not a match. So.
Oh, I didn't. Well, once the no match bar went across the screen and then I saw Stacey applauding, I was like, why is Stacey applauding? Like, I guess she thinks that that means she's 100% a match. But like, right. How quickly we forget math.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then here comes Big D. Dun, dun, dun.
The Red Cup Master is taking over.
I mean, my reaction to this was like, okay, so now they're allowed to use cups? Because, like, we're always told they're not even allowed to, like, use symbols of who they are. But maybe because it was the beams and then they were putting their self, like, using their bodies, it was okay? Or did the producers make an exception?
I was just saying, like, they must have been like, guys, we have no idea what is happening. Just let us have cups. Let us use cups and people to like try to figure this out. And they're like, all right, whatever, go for it.
So there was an interview with Ryan Devlin on November 18th on the Observer.com. And she asked about this sort of, and he said they have no pens, papers, computers, or phones in the house. There are no grids that can be drawn, and nothing is worse television than watching people work out a math problem. But there are visual ways to do it. We saw it with Anthony in the finale, and in the finale, they start trying to work it out by role playing. Like, you sit here, and by using little models like shampoo bottles and solo cups, and they'll move them around to try and figure it out. So I guess there is some discrepancy on what's allowed. Like, potentially these like markers are allowed and they just hadn't been doing it before.
I guess so. I mean, I guess seeing red cups is more interesting than running it down. But yeah, I mean, it's not going to offer much. But they have to do what they have to do. I'm not going to blame them for doing it. This is exactly what they should be doing.
I mean, over the last two episodes, we've asked for this every single episode, basically. It's like, where's the strategic talk? They missed the mark here, in my opinion. Like, this was not clear, thoughtful, strategic talk. This was like a jumbled mess, and it went on for so long on the worst parts of it in terms of like the cup stacking and the use it here and here are the scenarios. Like, I just thought they gave way too much and not in the right way. And I don't understand, because the challenge does it well, Survivor does it well, Big Brother does it well. And for some reason, Are You the One like gave us, you know, we asked for an inch and they gave us a mile.
It must be that they really just don't do the type of talking strategy that we think they're not showing. Like, in terms of, you know, episode 5, oh, we have to try to help this couple win, or we should be doing this at the matchup ceremony. Like, they just must not be doing that stuff. And then all we get is at the very end, them frantically trying to put it together. That's the only explanation I can think of.
I believe that this was the first time they really did it with any sort of third. But it's the same thing when like Austin started talking about strategy. They didn't give us a confessional with him or a clear-cut explanation of what he was trying to make happen. And I think here, again, like, we obviously know they're trying to achieve 10 matches, so we don't need to explain, like, oh, this not being a match would mean this is a match, which would be more early on conversation. But, like, they don't explain it. Even, like, I'm jumping ahead, but even when they're talking about the two scenarios, and he's like, okay, well, one scenario would be Tyler and Kiki, and one scenario would be Kiki and Alec. That's not even what happens. So they're just not even caring about the continuity of the strategy. And I just feel like they could have boiled down all of the quote strategy that they showed that made no sense into like 3 clear cut minutes of a confessional explaining the thought process. And it would have been just as satisfying.
Yeah, I agree. It's a problem.
Okay. So I thought here when Devin's saying like, I'm nearly a genius, that this was a very Wes edit and very I was not Wes. Alone. Definitely. So Nick Sabetta wants to know, is Devin trying to be the new Wes?
I mean, I don't think that's how we're seeing it, just because from the challenge perspective, but I don't think he's thinking about being the Wes. I think that's just his personality is similar to Wes. He's a cocky, arrogant manipulator, and that's Wes. So he's like Wes.
I don't know why I like at least the more mature version of Wes way more than I like Devin here. And what's bothering me is like, yeah, Devin's fine in this episode and he gets a total hero edit. But like, that was the worst thing about the episode for me is that it ends with Devin getting credit. And that's like just the way that the trajectory of the show, like the fact that they would make him like give him this redemption arc and make him the hero of the story is like ludicrous to me.
But this is really what happened. There's no really other way to play it. Like, if he was the one who came up with this stuff and was the manipulator, the mastermind of the decisions. There's no real else way to show that. You have to just show it.
And based on the fact that Stacy and Hunter got completely edited out and they made it seem like Stacy chased Alec for 10 weeks, like, don't underestimate the power of television. They Fair. Absolutely could.
They could, but that also it. Just they has nothing. Have, yeah, that just has nothing to do with the actual game. Like, Stacy and Hunter, like, they didn't pick each other for matchups. They weren't on dates together. Like, there's some stuff you can't edit out, and them coming together to win is something you have to show how it happened. Like, I don't know how else you could show that. You just have, like, I know Devin may be a douchebag and an asshole, but you have to show him doing what he did.
I mean, I totally disagree. I think they could have cut out. I mean, if they wanted to, I'm not saying they should have, but if they wanted to, they cut out all of his heroic confessionals about how he's saving the day and he's the genius and it's about time that he take control. Everybody was involved. They see him sitting there like moving the cups around fine, like he's involved. But I guarantee that there were sound bites from other people and they could have manipulated the story as however they wanted. They always can. I feel like as much as what we see, we believe, and did happen, they could probably recut all of the footage and make it a totally different story. No problem. Probably sure. Like three different ways.
But I'm not going to be upset that they didn't change the actual story. I'm not going to be upset about that. Assuming this is actually how it happened, which it seems like it is, but I'm not going to be upset.
I was going to say, maybe they did. I was going to say, you don't know. All right. So they basically going into the matchup ceremony do everything based on the fact that assuming that Stacy and Alec are a couple, which I think we said, if not last week, a week before, that like at this point, their only hope is to just commit to one of them being a match and working from there.
Exactly. And that's what they did. And it failed miserably.
Yeah. I love when Devin gets called up. Brittany picks Devin, which is like absolutely shocking to me. And he's saying we finally came together. And then they have these like little taglines that they say at his instruction. And Connor, I missed Connor so much. It's like Devin's the ringleader of the House of Morons. Morons were fucked.
Connor actually had a pretty fun finale. He had some good one-liners sitting in the... Normally, I'm not a big fan of the peanut gallery shouting stuff out, but he's actually pretty funny out there. So I'll give him credit. This one, even in the finale, too, he was pretty good.
I think this season really lacked Connor as like a foil for Devin, because I think Connor, when he was in the house, was saying like, you know, when Devin was doing that shit to Kiki, like Connor called them out at the matchup also that Devin's a manipulative asshole. So I think it would have been an interesting alternate universe of Connor staying in the house.
Fair. Definitely fair. Should we even bother going
down
these?
Do you want to run down
going through it? All right, we can quickly.
I know we could skip it.
You want to just skip it? There's 10 matches. There's one of them that's right. Or two of them.
Yeah, one thing I just thought highlights reel is Kiki. She's like, last week, no one picked me, and this week I'm by myself. Like the whole, every time Kiki was alone, I was like crying laughing. Not because I was happy for her, but it was just so funny.
The Kiki arc this season has just been incredible with the ups and downs. And now it's like her just twiddling her thumbs all by herself. You have to feel bad for her, but it is very funny. All right.
One thing, though, that bothered me is when Amanda calls Nelson, they cut to Cheyenne making like a shady face. And it's like, editors, you can't have it both ways. Right. Like, we're supposed to not know that Nelson and Cheyenne are still together, but then we're supposed to understand why Cheyenne gives them a death glare. Like, make up your mind.
And then we're supposed to believe going in that they're doing this whole master plan and then someone's still going to be upset because they didn't pick them to sit next to each other. Yeah, just we don't need that.
All right. So when they get two beams, this is my favorite part because Ryan is just running out of pep talks to give. Like, he then tells them to throw it all out and hit reset. Are you kidding me?
He really had to have had like a pep talk Rolodex throughout this entire season of different ways to say screw strategy, follow your heart. Because he said it every single time. And what also did it get going into this one where he was like, oh, the guys have always gotten you into trouble. Like, what matchup ceremony did the girls do well in? Did I miss that one?
Well, the guys are the ones that blacked out. The guys have always had more controversy.
They've all sucked, though.
I don't disagree with you, but relatively speaking, the girls have done better just by virtue sure. of not having cost them $250,000.
I guess that's fair, but that was like 2 months ago at this point. Like, they've all just sucked.
All right, so the reaction here, Chuck really, A, is drunk, and B, gets really set off by this.
Yeah, this... Plus one for Alec. Alec is like probably like my favorite guy after all this. Second favorite guy. Sorry, T-Boogie. Second favorite guy after all this, because I love the way he stood up against Chuck. It was like, stop being a little bitch. Like, they're not giving up now. Let's go.
Well, a couple things were confusing about this. So first of all, Chuck's wasted. So I kind of felt like, and Alec probably is too, but Alec losing his shit over Chuck's immediate reaction. Like, obviously, Chuck is not going to do this. And Alec tweeted something of like, yeah, Devin gets the credit, but like, I get credit for convincing everyone not to give up. Like, there was no way Chuck was really going to do this. Like, let him just air his shit. He's frustrated and he's loves this girl. Let him just bullshit that he's going to be a hero. You know, it's not real. And for it to escalate to violence over this is like, it was so stupid.
I mean, I understand he probably wasn't going to do it, but I feel like if there was someone in the house who would be like the hippie screw money, I'm just going to go for love guy, it would be Chuck. So like, I wouldn't be like tempting fate. I would be like, and call him out in front of everyone. I would be right on side Alec doing that.
I mean, but you have 3 more days until the matchup ceremony.
Sure.
Like, this wasn't like the night before. This wasn't like that day and he was like, I'm going rogue. Like, this was like the immediate reaction and I was just like, okay, Alec, like, you know, whatever. I don't know. I thought Chuck was annoying. I just thought everyone should have rolled his eyes, except Brittany's like grinning like she's like into the idea of him doing that.
Yeah,
like, she's touched by it.
That also would have set me off. I'm like, what? And then Nelson's into it too. That would have set me off too. I'm like, what is wrong with these people? Why are they just going to give up? That I'm 100% with Alec. I would have started to flip out too, with everyone being like, oh yeah, screw it, let's just pick who we've won, be a man and follow our heart. Like, what are you talking about? How is that being a man?
My favorite part here is when like Chuck throws oranges at Alec and breaks his glass. Brittany's like, she doesn't get involved until she gets sprayed by it. She's like, that got on me, now it's not cool.
No, like, I don't even think got on her too. She's like, that almost got on me, and that's gonna set her off. So something almost hitting her sets her off.
Either way, I respected her not giving a shit until she was affected by it negatively, or almost affected by it negatively. I liked Brittany in this episode.
Really? I hated Brittany in this episode. I hate it like when she's like yelling at Alec, oh, this, where's your motherfucking pride now or whatever. Like, sit down, Brittany. Go away.
I guess I just thought this whole fight was stupid, that I just felt like everyone was a net neutral idiot. Like, not an idiot, whatever, but you know what I mean? Like,
I can't argue with that logic, so we can go with that.
So Kristen Kenar, and she didn't specify when she decided to write this comment about what moment, but I'm assuming it's here. So is Chuck the worst or is Chuck the worst?
He's the worst. 100%. He's the worst.
Speaking of comparisons.
Okay.
Alec shoves Chuck pretty good here, like into some sort of refrigerator. He like goes down basically. Was Alec's shove any less bad than Mike's?
It's guy on guy, guy versus girls. It's the world. Two completely different things.
Right. Well, that's the thing. I mean, I think that's what needs to be changed here. Is it needs to be, usually it is a zero tolerance policy, right? Like, if a girl were to hit a girl, you go home. I think where we lack is guy on guy manhandling and girl on guy hitting.
That's fair. But I mean, I didn't think Alex should be kicked out for that.
I didn't think he should be kicked out for it, but I just think like to have one episode of like two violent outbursts and one become a huge deal and one not. I mean, I still am fine with everything that happened, right? In terms of like Mike getting in trouble and Alec being fine, but it was just a weird juxtaposition. Like, when I saw that, I was like, oh, another major shove, huh? And nothing happened.
In the deleted scene, there was another one, because Nelson got even more involved, that he shoved Alec and nothing happened to him, other than producers finally, they show the producers stepping in, but that happened there too and nothing happened to Nelson.
I'm just trying to see what else I can skip here. I feel like Zach and Hannah, okay, we get it. You're going to put your relationship on hold. Like, there's 2 days left.
What role models?
And then we see the beginning of Devin's, or not the beginning, but like Devin's redemption of Cheyenne saying, like, you really crossed a line with Kiki. And Devin's like, yeah, I know. And then I just wrote, like, I'm a good guy, blah, blah, blah. Because then we get like
the montage.
I don't need the montage of all the shit Devin's done. This happened like 5 seconds ago. Like, I don't know how long ago you think I watched this episode, but like, I can recall the only thing that's happened this whole episode, which is Devin being a douchebag this whole season.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I didn't need that either. That was a little much. I didn't need that.
As though the, like, I feel like MTV has so much in on, like, they're, speaking of all the eggs being in one basket, like, they're all in on Devin this season. Like, everyone got mad at Kiki for taking the attention, but I really feel like it was all about Devin.
I mean, this season was definitely the Devin and Kiki show in one way or another. Like, they were 100% the two focal points. Like, season one was the Christine Chanley show. This season was the Devin and Kiki show.
Yeah, but then now we're getting Devin's redemption. It's like, as though, it's so funny because it's like Zach and Tyler and everyone's like pissed about how much airtime they got. And now even like Devin's getting like montage of himself, like in repeat flashback scenes, more than anyone else is even getting like their own date show.
Right. Where's the montage of T-Boogie? I don't think that made the, got past the cutting room floor.
What did you think of this next challenge?
I thought it was kind of cool. I was into it. I honestly liked the two challenges this week. They were entertaining at the very least. So I was into it. The guy carrying a girl across an obstacle course.
I think the challenge definitely got a lot better. All the challenges got exponentially better over the course of the season. I thought the girl should have had more to do here. Like, it's like, why didn't, I mean, it makes it more difficult for the guy. But if in like the challenge, for example, like when they wear just like a weighted bag mm-hmm. comparison to their body weight, if they had that, the girls could have sat on the sideline.
I would have been fine with them being like blindfolded and then the obstacle course being like a little less difficult and the girls having to navigate through the course. That could have been interesting. So yeah, I could have been fine with something like that.
Yeah. Or even if there were like, you know, ropes or something, I had to untie and get a ring or something, you know, whatever. Yeah, like
there would be just puzzles something along the way that the girl would have to solve rather than being like a choice of go answering a question. If you've ever been at a threesome, that doesn't offer much.
Speaking of threesomes, Nick Sabetta wants to know, if you had to make a bet on which two girls would offer a threesome, would Melanie and Rashida have been by far the lowest odds?
That's definitely not the pair I thought would be offering it up, especially to Chuck. When did Mel and Rashida ever even talk to Chuck?
Why are we not seeing this in a deleted scene?
It's a great question.
Like, where is this clarification of this moment? Like, what the hell are they talking about?
It's a great question. Yeah, where is cut the Devin flashback montage and cut to this? Cut to that drunken question at like 5 a.m. Where's that?
Are you surprised that only one team, I mean, maybe a lot of teams did it and we only saw it because it mattered, but are you surprised that only one team went and did the true false question?
No, because I think all the guys want to show they're manly and tough and just want to go straight and finish the course as fast as possible.
See, I would have thought, my first reaction was like, this is so stupid because you only get 30 seconds and it's got to take at least 30 seconds to read a question and grab an answer and go off course. I didn't realize the questions would be like about you. So it was like, Melanie, who did you offer a threesome to? Yeah, that's true. I did that. Take the chip. Like, that was ridiculous.
Did you see any of the other questions? I couldn't catch any of them.
No, of course not. Like, the questions were probably fake. It was probably just that one question. Budget cuts.
Can't even the magic of television.
All right. So Tyler, well, Zach, huge, strong showing for Zach here. If you would have told me the guys are going to have to carry the girls across a major physically demanding obstacle course, who's going to win? I don't know that Zach would have been my first pick.
No, definitely. He very strong showing. Good job by Zach. Shout out to him. He killed it. He would definitely would have got killed it from TJ.
Thighs of steel, man. And you would have, it was reminiscent of Johnny Banana's backpack, not in terms of the pure dominance, but I mean, just in terms of the imagery we got where his like shorts are hiked up and you could just see this like bulging thigh. I was just like, whoa, shades of CT right there.
Yes,
I did not.
In the same way that
out of Zach.
In the same way that Zach had someone on his back while walking, it was the same way as CT with Johnny Bananas. We'll give you that.
Huh. No. I'm just talking about literally. I'm only saying that because I watched it recently at work. I showed someone at work because it was just on my mind. But I'm just saying, like, I just mean the like the snapshot. Yeah, if you were gonna take like a screenshot and just, it's like iconic the way CT's legs look because the shorts are all hiked up, and you got that when Zach was like moving through the mud pit, you could just see his like rippling thigh, and it was like, whoa, I'm terrified, but good job, good for you at a very far distance for me.
Fair, I guess.
I don't know if this is going to come on the recording, but in case it does, Brian and I are having technical difficulties. So he's on a delay. So if there's like a 30-second lag between me talking and Brian answering, it's because of that.
There was I didn't hear a delay at all. So that's that's not good. Oh, boy.
Oh, it's really bad on my end. You're like, it's like a news. It's like a special correspondent when you like ask a question and you hear them listening to it. You're like, oh, and they smile and then they respond 20 seconds later.
Oh, this is going to be a fantastic finish to the show. Let's keep rocking and rolling.
All right. So one thing is Alec totally sucks here. And it's like, where is Ryan? Ryan says everyone's right behind Zach. And it's like, where is the Probstian model of him being like Alec and Kiki completely falling out of it?
Yeah, he doesn't like ripping on people for sucking in challenges, which Devlin needs to step up on in his game for next season. He's just like, when people suck, tell them they suck. Embrace the suckness.
I agree. So the winners here are Hannah and Nelson, Rashida and Devin. Wait, no. Zach and Kayla. Oh, it was Rashida and Devin, and then it's Hannah and Nelson, but Mel and Tyler edge out Hannah and Nelson because they got the true fall question right.
I wonder if they actually did. I mean, like what they said, yeah, I guess they did really just lose by a second, so I guess that makes up. Never mind. Disregard that last point.
I already forgot it. All right. So here's the start of the friend zone for Tyler. I mean, when Mel is like, I already love that kid, that's no bueno right off the bat.
Yeah. You don't say the kid in terms of someone that you're attracted to at all.
And you don't say that you love someone that you could potentially be in love with. Like, you would never say that. You'd be terrified. If you like someone, yeah, you're not going to jump to love.
Nope. 100%. Double whammy. Two strikes.
One thing I thought was hilarious is, so we get Stacy and Nelson talking here, and Stacy's like, I don't know who my match is. And she says, they think I'm with him, but I don't know what he's doing. And they cut to a clip of Alec, but I feel like she's talking about Hunter here.
I think that I didn't think about that, but that's a good point. Like that could be a sneaky Hunter Stacy confessional that backward got into the show. But I didn't catch that. I didn't think that was who she was talking about.
Only because she's saying, like, guys aren't going to want to talk to me because they think I'm already with him. And, like, I think everybody at this point, from Stacy's perspective, knew that her and Alec weren't, like, an actual couple. But mm-hmm. Nelson does the, like, is it Saved by the Bell when it's, like, you have 5 smiles or whatever it is? Like, he does the whole, like, or 8 smiles. What? Or is it? Everyone's going to yell at me.
It's not Saved by the Bell.
It's 10 things I hate about you.
Yes.
No, I think it's 10 things I hate about you.
Yeah, it's like your 7 smiles. Wow, I can't believe I know
that. And that's what I thought about when he's like, I can name 5 things about you. Like, you're a businesswoman. You can't cook. You don't like to cuddle. You get emotional when you're drunk. And she's like, I'm not emotional. And he's like, I said when you're drunk. It's like a very cute moment here for them to forcibly try to show like something's between them.
This must have been they said this was like the only conversation they've ever had, so I mean they hit it out of the park with one convo, I guess.
Another thing that makes no sense is when Alec and Amanda are talking and she's like, I know I've never genuinely sat down with you, and it's like, we've seen you genuinely sit down and have a conversation. So
I was thinking that too. Didn't they have this exact conversation like 4 weeks ago? Like, oh, but no, he didn't. She's like, oh, Alec is too nice for me. I wouldn't want that. And now it's, oh, Alec is too sweet. That's exactly who I want. Oh, okay. Fun twist.
I don't know. I like want to trust the show. And I usually say like what we've seen is what we've seen. But like things just don't even make sense. Like it doesn't make sense that she would say they've never spoken when we've seen that they've spoken. But it all just reminded me, it's very like last day of summer or like last week of camp. Like it was very like, get your last summer romance in while you can, guys. Like we're leaving tomorrow.
Wet hot American summer.
And everyone's trying to like force something to happen. So now they try to make it like Kiki's really jealous of this Alec and Amanda thing. And I'm just like, I'm not buying any of this like force storyline here.
No, I can't imagine Kiki's actually that upset. I think she's just upset that she just doesn't have a match. And it just that's why she's upset. She can't ask me jealous or angry at Alec, right? She can't be.
I mean, I don't think this made any sense to me. Like, this whole sequence was bizarre.
Bizarre. They could have easily chopped that up for many different circumstances.
The date. One thing that pissed me off here with Devin and Rashida, like, Devin is still manipulating Rashida just in the way that Rashida would be able to be manipulated as opposed to the way that he can manipulate Kiki. Like, everything he's saying, like, you know, if she, like, I don't know if Kiki could ever actually be with me. And she's like, I don't play around. And he's just saying all the right things. Like, he's just saying, we don't even have to say anything. Your energy, like, you would already see through all of that. Like, he's just manipulating her in a way that reaches her.
He's good. He's really good at what he does. At some point, like, you just, I mean, just be happy it's not happening to you and just sit back and enjoy. Like, he's just good at it.
Like, I'm not going to enjoy this. It's bullshit. I just think it's not good because we know it. Like, I just think with Rashida, I'm disappointed. I'm not mad at Devin. I think he's got a complex. I think he has, like, problems. But Devin, I mean, Rashida here is, like, I'm watching her get played while she's saying she can't get played. And it's just, like, were you not there for the last 8 weeks and saw who Devin really is? And now you think like you're different because what, Kiki was weak? Like, I just thought that was stupid. But
I also don't think he's not like trying to manipulate her to sleep with him at that point. Like, I think they genuinely do get along. And I do think he does like her, but I don't think he likes her in any romantic way. And I don't think he's even giving the sense that he likes her in a romantic way. Getting the sense they're just friends.
I don't mean manipulation in that sense. Like, I just think he wants everyone to like him. Like, I think it stems from insecurity. And, like, I don't need a Dr. Phil him right now. But, like, I just think it just was I don't think he can help it. Like, I don't think I'm not trying to say he was trying to sleep with her or anything like that at all. But I just think he's using manipulation on her to make her think that he's a good guy again. You know, like, I think right. He's digging himself out of the hole he was in just on a personal level, like on a friendship level. And I'm not trying to say he's just trying to sleep with everyone. I'm not saying that.
It's not a good personality for a functional human being, but I'm not trying to be a functional friend with him. I'm just enjoying him on my reality television. I think he's been a very good character and will be a very good character going forward.
I'm sick of it. I agree. I would agree with you up until like halfway through. I think they overused him. I think he's one. I just think he's one note. Like, I don't think he's been giving anything extra. Maybe this week with the strategic thinking element. Maybe now that's like he's socially manipulative and he's got strategy, which is very Wes. Mm-hmm. But I'm just tired of him. Maybe on the challenge when there are like other people, foils for him and other people to get airtime, then I won't get sick of him. But right now I just think he's very one note and I'm not impressed.
Okay. It'll be interesting to see how he progresses.
All right, so every couple gets votes here to go into the truth booth.
Yeah, Brittany and Kiki went rogue with their votes. Bold moves in the biggest truth booth.
Well, that's
of their
all
lives.
We saw, but we don't. That's like what you were saying before about how like you wish Ryan would come out and say it. Like, we don't know if more people. We only saw like 3 or 4 people vote.
That's true. I still don't get why they don't just show every vote. Or just like reveal the votes. Weird. It's another weird thing by Are You the One?
Yeah, but just more of Tyler and Mel in the friend zone. Yada, yada, yada. BFF forever.
That's the third strike. The kid saying, I love you. BFF forever. You are a friend.
I just don't think Tyler's even getting it. Because then he responds to that with like, we haven't kissed, but like, it's not even about that. Like, yeah, dude, it's about that.
She said specifically, I have no interest in kissing him.
All right. So Kayla and Zach go into the truth booth, and this is like America and Are You the One and Brazil have to put their tail between their legs here, because we all just wrote off Kayla and Zach as an option.
Because why wouldn't we? Like, they, after the first week, did they even have a conversation again? They each had different paths along the way. So why would we think they're a match?
Well, why would we think that Brittany and Hunter were a match, except for the fact that they're from the South?
Because why would we think any one of these people are ever a match at any point?
Well, right. So that's the same. Now we're back to, we shouldn't have discounted Zach and Kayla. But I think it's a product of, we didn't really get to see the real Zach on the show. And like, now that we see this last episode, like, and they're kind of talking, like, I kind of get why they would get along at least a little bit more than like who we thought they were week two.
I mean, if you think about most of the matches, I think you can really think about maybe why they come together in our match and they make sense. Some of them, I still don't think there's nothing that they showed us makes sense, but sure, you can come and think, okay, the Zach and Kayla sort of make sense. And there's some other ones that make sense like that, but you could still pair them up with other people and make the same type of comparisons.
No, that's true. I'm just more saying the reason that I discounted them is because I thought I knew them, but like, I thought they were one way from what they were shown. And like, now we're seeing a different side of them, which makes it more understandable of why they're a match.
Fair.
Andrew Kirk, were you guys thrown off by the before commercial line on the perfect match, or the perfect match line with Zach and Kayla? I thought going into commercial that it wasn't a match.
Looked like a full bar. I thought it was gonna be a full bar, and it looked like a full bar.
So there you go. All right, so they're a confirmed perfect match. And someone tweeted, like, do they get to go away for one day?
They should.
All right, so this Kiki and Alec thing. I mean, I'm just like, it's not a good look for Kiki when she's saying, like, we both knew from our hearts in the beginning. Like, was there a conversation shown, or is this just was not shown that they, like, thought they could be a match week one?
There was no conversation. Definitely not. She's gone through, like, that eight different guys.
You know, I mean, I could see that them talking week one and, like, being attracted to each other and then going their own ways. I mean, that happened with, I mean, Rashida and Alec could have said that, right? Like, sure. Something like that. But it's just not a good look week 10 to be like, we knew it from the start, when she's literally been into everyone else and he is her last ditch effort.
Exactly. Not a good look.
But then I think she totally gets caught up in the moment of Zach and Kayla being a perfect match, because she's just like, Alec, you're my match, you get my bracelet.
When did the bracelet first come out? Did we see that in the preseason? Did that ever come up during the show, or was that
preseason? It came up like episode one whenever.
Did it?
No, it was a show revelation when Devin and Kiki were in like the confessional. Devin was like, show them the bracelets, and she was like, okay, I got bracelets.
I couldn't remember where that first came up. Okay.
It was when she thought Devin was still her match.
Yeah. I remember. Okay. Yeah, you're right.
Kristen Kennard, does this finale change how you feel about playing red cups? Are they still just cups? Or are they truly a special gift from the universe? And on the same note, Tim Heberlin on Twitter tweeted, Is them using solid red cups to work it out offensive to Starbucks customers?
I was just about to make that joke off that. Damn you, Tim. But good job.
Well, every joke we're going to make here was already made on Twitter at some point. I thought that was pretty funny. Right, but what was not funny is just like, now this cup stuff and the scenario and Kiki arguing, and here are two scenarios that aren't even the scenarios that they play out. And then the coin flip. Boring.
Well, how are they not the scenarios they play out? They are the scenarios that they play out. Right?
Well, did I mishear? Because he said scenario one, Amanda and Alec and Tyler and Kiki.
No, it was
scenario
Amanda,
two,
it was Amanda
Alec
and
Alec
Kiki, and,
Tyler and Mel.
No, it was Amanda and Alec and Tyler and Cheyenne. It was scenario one. And then scenario two was Melanie and Tyler and Kiki and Alec.
All right, I want to go back. I'm going to go back and watch that.
Okay. I wrote it down. I think I'm right. But I easily could be wrong. I'm wrong about a lot.
Yeah, I mean, I wrote it down too, but I wrote it down wrong.
So one of us wrote it down.
I'm the president of the United States, and now I'm the president. But okay, then it's not as bad. But that's why I was going off before. I mean, I said this earlier in the show, like I was annoyed because that's why it made no sense to me. Probably because I just heard it wrong. But I just thought this was like, it could have been so much more succinct. Like it just was like droning on, and how many more times do we have to see them stacking these cups? Like we got it. That's why I like the challenge. Does so much of a better job of showing you the challenge, the strategy, the drama. The challenge, the strategy, the drama. And just when you're about to get tired of one aspect, boom, there's another aspect.
To be fair to that, though, there's also a lot more decisions to make here. Like when the challenge is like, who are you voting in? And that's it. Here it's like, we have to pair you with you and you with you. That means you're pairing you and you and you and you, or you and you and you and you and you and you. So it's kind of, I understand they're in a tough spot when there's are showing strategies. Like it's not just one decision. It's a lot of decision that leads to other decisions.
But we didn't even see that here. Like they didn't tell us we're you and you and you and you and you and you. Like,
well,
you
they know, said, I just, like, we're doing Tyler and Cheyenne. And then that means Alec and Amanda. And then the rest is fill in the blank. They're not gonna, and then they had the other one. So, I mean, I wasn't that upset with how they played it.
I just watching it, I was bored. That's, I guess, all I can say.
I was more just bored because we were at like the hour and 40 mark.
And also, I think, that's what I was going to say, is like take into account that this was now 2 hours into the show.
Exactly.
And we had already seen this red cup thing. Like we already, that's why I'm kind of saying we got it, is because we already saw the thought process. So now, okay, we have two options. We can either go this way or this way, or this way, or this way. And that's it. Fair. I did like the slow-mo on the coin flip.
Yes, the slow-mo was used a lot throughout this episode.
I only noticed it on the coin flip.
Well, they did it a lot during the Mike Amanda stuff when he was like walking in and out of the house. They had the weird slow-mo going on, and then they had to fade to black with the public service announcement.
Oh, right. So the one thing here is with this coin flip is I'm trying to pull it up, but, you know, whatever, it's not coming up. Are you the one math posted? There were four scenarios at this point after Kayla and Zach were a confirmed match. And this is why everyone's like, oh, it was rigged. It's like, well, no, there really were. They had a 25% chance of picking the right scenario, assuming they could remember who is matched up. And then when you look at the four options, I would have gone with this one too. Like, I want to know if they really went with the coin flip, or if that was just like they flipped the coin and they were like, no, this makes the most sense. Because if it were if the two scenarios they were talking about were, what did you say again? Tyler and Cheyenne.
Tyler and Cheyenne, Alec Amanda, that was the one they went with.
Or who was the other determining
Melanie
factor? Amanda,
because I wrote it down. Mel and Tyler and Kiki and Alec.
Mel and Tyler. I don't even see that as like a possibility. Whatever. Regardless,
so the
this
other
one
option
like
was then just
made more sense than any of the other four.
So what were the ones that didn't?
Because the real
the
options were like Alec and Kiki or Kiki and Mike.
Mm-hmm.
So Amanda and Austin, Brittany and Devin. You know, this was the only one where Rashida and Devin. There were only two where Rashida and Devin were a match. And I think that that was like underplayed at how probably certain they were on that.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
And then otherwise it would be Amanda and Hunter, Brittany and Nelson, Hannah and Alec, Kiki and Mike, Melanie and Austin, Rashida and Devin, and Stacey and Chuck.
Yeah.
I mean, who knows? They could have edited that to make sense too. But I just think it wasn't. That's why I'm not thinking it's like that far fetched.
It's not like if they actually. It's not, if you think about it, it does make sense, but the far fetched is just, I think he just came from nothing and then got it. Like there was no middle ground. It was like 2-2, 3-3-2, and then boom, 10. Like there was just no middle ground of it, which is a little far fetched, but I mean, it's not like if there really only were four possibilities and these people were in the house with each other 30 days, they should know a little bit more than just what the math says, that they should be able to then piece it together from those four options. So I mean, it's not completely unbelievable.
I mean, I definitely think there was a huge guess involved. Like, I don't think that they were certain at all that they were going to get this. But I do believe that they would be able to whittle it down to a possible set of 10.
Right. You would hope so. Did I lose you?
Hello?
Hello? Hello?
All right, so this is what's ridiculous. Is then we get a scene right before the last matchup. Why is Tyler contemplating who he's going to pick if this has been decided?
I don't know. This was a weird episode for T-Boogie. First, in the first episode, he was being blamed for the Kiki pick. We didn't think was his fault. But now it's like him second-guessing this pick. It's like, why are you second-guessing again? Like, there's nothing to picking someone. Just sit with them. This is, you decided on the game. This is not decided because of you. Just make your pick and be done with it.
So then we get to the final matchup. And what's funny to me here is they basically have everyone come up and explain why they're a match because the show didn't show it.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. They could have, like, it makes sense the way they did it, but if they picked a different option, they could have said completely different things and it would have been like, oh, yeah, I guess that makes sense why Hunter and Hannah are matches. Sure, that makes sense.
So do you want to run down? Well, actually, first, I have a question that's going to interject the running down. So Austin picks Brittany and they're like, oh, yeah, we're so independent. Bob Mary wants to know, why did you think Austin honestly came on the show? He didn't seem motivated to find love and he makes more money a month than he made on the show.
I would think he came on to try to find love. He just didn't find anyone he connected with, would be my guess. I mean, he definitely didn't come on for money. And maybe he came on for fame to help him out with something else. But I would guess he tried to came on to find someone. And he just didn't.
I would be curious about what brought Austin to Are You the One, just in terms of like how he knows about the show. Like, did he watch it? You know, whatever. I mean, it's really interesting. He's, I think, more interesting than he got credit for, just in terms of his. I mean, did Zach or Tyler explain like what, you know, that Austin, I know it's Tyler that talked about how Austin really came from nothing and worked really hard and made himself what he is today. He's former military, which we talked about before, and he has trouble connecting and opening up to people. And so I thought it could have been more interesting if he had had that evolution and had opened up to someone. I mean, maybe if him and Kayla got together week three, we would have seen that. Yeah, I mean, I definitely think he was in it to find love. He just maybe doesn't have the personality or the vulnerability to succeed on a show like this.
Yeah, absolutely. You definitely need a certain type of personality to not only be shown when it comes down to editing, but also to just connect with other people who are going to be on this type of show. And it's not like an insult that he doesn't have it. It's probably more of a compliment, but that's just not for him.
All right, so do you want to run down the rest of the matches?
Sure. So these are the perfect matches. Austin and Brittany, like you said. Then Hunter and Hannah. Devin and Rashida. Tyler and Cheyenne. Alec and Amanda. Nelson and Stacy. Chuck and Mel. And Mike and Kiki.
So one thing is like, it was bizarre to me when these couples are saying they want to pursue something. So like when Melanie's like, it's disappointing to stand here when we can't go further, is like, why is she saying that when like that's not going to help your case? Or like then Amanda later is like, oh, I want to try a relationship with Alec. Like, where is that coming from?
It's even Stacy's like, I'm so happy to find my perfect match. I feel like Stacy forgot who her perfect match was. She's like, I'm just so happy I have my perfect match, whoever it is. But I'm just so happy I found them.
What was amazing to me was Kiki locking in last by herself, wearing both of the bracelets. And I think Jasmine from last season said it best on Twitter. Damn Kiki knows who her match is and still has nobody give her the match bracelet to. Sorry, girl.
Oh, poor Kiki, forever alone. Poor Kiki.
I was rooting for them to win by this point. For what credit to the editors or whatever, by this point in the show, when they, like, I was tweeting like, holy shit, they're doing it, like, as they called people. And I was rooting for them to win. They turned me around.
I mean, look, it was a cool moment when they won. They put it together well. Like, I liked the dead silence before the ninth beam went off. But after just all this, all the horribleness, and none of these couples even having any semblance of a connection that we've had going in, just I want, only from my own curiosity, I just want to know what happens when they lose. And I just, this makes me feel like we're never going to know. Like this group was probably as furthest away as you could possibly be in this game, and they still won. We're just I'm resigned to the fact we're never going to see someone lose, and now I'm forever not going to know what's going to happen.
So Nick Sabetta asked, do you think they actually had a plan for if they lost? I just think it's unbelievable that they actually figured it out, just in the true sense of the word. I just don't really find it believable that these people who were terrible at literally everything else in the house managed to all of a sudden become super strategic and then flip a coin to win.
I mean, they definitely have a plan. I mean, this isn't like asking if Survivor has a plan for a tie at Tribal. Like this is, it's a lot more possible that they just lose. So they obviously have to have a plan. But I mean, I believe that they won. I don't think it's rigged. Did I lose you?
I couldn't make out what you said, but I heard a couple words, and it's probably exactly what I wrote down, which is, I think you said it's asking if Survivor has a plan for a tie at the final vote.
Yep.
Like that's, yeah, exactly. Of course they have a plan. But the one thing is a lot of people are saying, like, oh, it's rigged, it's rigged, it's rigged. Like, on Are You the One Math, they had, like, a poll, and it's, like, 73% of people polled thought it was rigged. I don't think this was rigged at all. I don't think MTV has anything to gain from strategy being able to overpower love, right? You know, whatever. I don't think they really care either way if they pay the money out or if they don't. Like, I don't think they have any. It would just, there's no way that these 20 people, or I guess the last 61 contestants, would have been able to keep it. It was a secret. Like, people get bitter, people breach their contract, and all it would take is one tweet to be like, this is rigged.
Here's the thing. If they wanted to rig it, like, this is the type of thing where, because there were four possibilities, and if this was one of the possibilities, they didn't have to tell them it was rigged. They could have been like, okay, this is now the matches we're having them win. Like, this doesn't have to be like we're telling the cast, okay, well, you guys are now winning, now celebrate like you're going to win. This could have been like them just switching the cards at the end and be like, okay, this is it, they win.
The other thing there is, I think if they were going to rig it, they're not that dumb where they would produce a show where it looks like there's no possible chance, and then all of a sudden they win. Like, they could have given more truth booths. They could have just told them, like, production could have just been like, I think Alex into you. Like, why don't you, you know, whatever. Like, there are just other ways that are more skillful manipulation. And I just don't think production is going to just like make it that obvious if they're going to rig it. And I don't really see the value in rigging it.
No, I don't. And especially in a situation like this where it looks so clearly that they rigged it, that it's like not good for the show. Like, they wouldn't want that perception that it's rigged. And so they wouldn't actually rig it when it seems like they're going to rig it. So I agree. It doesn't offer much. Like, I only want to see them lose just from my own curiosity. If they told me exactly what would happen, I'd be like, okay, fine. I want them to win every time. I just want to know. I just want to know what's going to happen, and then maybe see Devlin doing like the roll call of like, actually, Hannah, your perfect match was Hunter. Like, I just want to see that.
Callie Carter tweeted at us, and I was thinking about this too. One of the things she said is, are you disappointed that as disappointed as I am that they won? But two, did the 10 matchups / truth booths make this game unlosable?
It probably does. I mean, they were just so bad at it. And they got down to four possibilities at the end. So if they were just marginally better, they like the math probably figures it out by week 8. Like, isn't that like, didn't they figure out season 1 by like week 6 with the math? So, I mean, you have to be really, really, really bad at this to not be able to figure it out at the end.
Yeah, I definitely think over the seasons, I mean, the first season, like you were saying, showed that it's not actually as difficult to win as I thought it would be going into it blind. I mean, clearly it is losable, right? Like, they could have picked another scenario, but I don't think it's as easy to lose as I may have thought. Like, as you're saying, like, how could a cast do worse than this? Like, how could a cast, like, reasonably lose?
Like, they did the worst you possibly can. Like, they blacked out so early, and then they just got two beams or three beams every time, which tells you the least amount of information. Like, they did the worst you possibly can and still won. So, yeah, I mean, no cast is really ever going to, unless they do some twist where it's the 11th person, but there's just some other twist along to it that makes it even harder to win. But with the straight 10 guys, 10 girls, you're not going to lose.
Haley Strong tweeted, I wonder how many dates were went on by perfect matches that weren't sent into the truth booth. Now, I did the work because that's not available anywhere easily. So I went through every recap and not our recaps. So I went through online recaps. There was never a date that had a perfect match that didn't get voted in. Like, these people were not even on the dates together.
Bad. That's even worse, honestly, that there was never even an option. That means they were not even close to even guessing right.
Yeah, Connor and Chelsea were the first perfect match to even go on a date, and they voted them in. And then there weren't perfect matches paired up until this last date, where there were two perfect matches on the date to pick from, and Devin and Rashida and Zach and Kayla.
That's honestly, that's like the worst. That's so bad that they weren't even being thought of to be paired. I wonder how many of these people were even paired for like the challenges. I wouldn't even go back even that far.
Well, you could go back that far.
I'm not going back that far. Maybe someone else wants to, but my guess, it probably wouldn't even be that many.
I mean, yeah, I think, well, Melanie was interested in Chuck, but just couldn't get to Chuck in time, mm-hmm. or he wasn't into her. And Devin and Rashida have been in conversation, you know, kind of this whole time. So it's not like everyone's far-fetched, but yeah, I mean, it's not like they've really had leads here.
No.
All right, so... Land Rover 138 on Twitter wants to know, why do you think the cast was so negative on this season, given that they actually won?
I mean, they have to play into what's being shown. They can't be super confident because that kind of gives it away. So, yeah, I mean, you have to, the cast has to play to what's going on. They suck. They have to be a player that they sucked.
No, but like, I mean, Zach tweeted all of his lead up to this finale. I mean, I see what you're saying to a point. But Zach was like, tune in tomorrow for the worst finale in history. Like, there's a limit. Like, you don't need to say that. And then, like, last week he tweeted, like, this editing's horrible. So I generally think that if you weren't Keke and Devin or, you know, whatever, you're not feeling great about the editing. I think that sounds like the general consensus. Well,
I thought that's two different things.
No, but I'm adding that. But okay. Then I'm saying... then I guess I still don't think they were pleased with the editing of the finale for whatever reason.
No, I mean,
so
no,
like Zach was tweeting like heavily about it being the worst finale in history.
Yeah, them being disappointed with the editing and saying it's the worst finale is just because they don't like the fact that Devin and Kiki are just being shown all the time. That's not the fact that them tweeting how bad they are in terms of the game. So those are, yeah.
No, but I'm saying the question was like, why are they so negative on the show, on the season? Given that they actually won, it's like, I don't think the money is really helping the fact that they're seeing a story that they don't feel like their story was told.
Exactly.
But it was, I did think the same thing as Land Rover 138, because I was like, why is Zach saying this is like the most pathetic finale in history if they win the money? And maybe he was just, you know, joking around and screwing with us, but it was bizarre. Sorry. So, Mia Pia, which confirmed match at the end made the most sense to you guys?
Honestly, the way Austin and Brittany described each other did make a lot of sense, that they're both looking for independent people. And Brittany literally said that to Hunter, you know, either that day or the day before. I can't even remember anymore, that she's an independent person, that and Hunter looking for someone who would be dependent on him. So, I mean, that makes sense to me.
And I get Alec and Amanda. Like, I think I even liked them when Alec was making his first pitch to her that she rejected. Like, I was surprised that she didn't go for that after Mike kind of screwed her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm saying, that's what I'm saying. You could read into a lot of these matches.
I'm trying to pull up the matches because for some reason.
Yeah, like a lot of these, I mean, the Devin and Rashida, I think, makes a lot of sense. Them both being like the leader alpha type personalities. So, I mean, some of them do make sense. But like something like Mel and Chuck, I don't know why they're a perfect match. They seem like two completely different type people.
Well, Mel is into Chuck, Ellie. Like, that's more than you could say for a lot of them. But yeah, Cheyenne and Tyler, obviously, top two from the jump.
Right.
But Andrew Kirk, who from the perfect matches were the JJ and Ashley equivalent of this season? So for anyone who didn't watch, who's new to Are You the One, JJ and Ashley are two people who made no sense together to the outside world.
For me, it's Mel and Chuck. Like, I know Mel's into Chuck, but I think that's just, it seemed like it was just like a physical thing. Like, I don't know why they would be together. From everything we learned about Mel and Chuck, I don't know what they have in common.
Well, I don't think we know anything about Mel.
I guess that's fair. But from what we know about Chuck, it doesn't seem like they would get along.
I think Stacy and Nelson are just out of the blue for me, but that's also because we don't know anything about them, or about Nelson at least. And I think, I disagree with you. I think Rashida and Devin are confusing to me, because I just don't think that, like, if he's like this yoga, like, but like, I can't see Rashida being about that.
I just think the way their personality is that they're both very strong minded people. I think it makes sense.
Yeah, but to me, that's like an explosion waiting to happen. Like, that's a bad reason for a match. It's like the opposite of like why Alec and why they pair Alec and Amanda then. It's like you don't pair two alpha people together. Like, that's just it's not for me, but they figured it out. So there's obviously something there.
Right. Good on them.
So Nick Sabetta. So how bad were the matchmakers this season? Like, did a single one of these couples actually have any chemistry that was shown? Three of the couples didn't even sit together until the final matchup ceremony.
Yeah, this was not a strong season for the most sophisticated matchmaking process in the history of the world. Takes a little bit of a hit.
Michael Duncan wants to know, Allie, did Devin redeem himself at all for you this episode? Much like Nick's question, he seems to be the new Wes based on my viewing. As I said before, my reaction to this was the only bad thing about them winning is Devin gets credit. Short answer, hell no. I don't think Devin was redeemed here. I'm like annoyed by the fact that they gave this asshole a redemption story. But maybe we'll like him more in his future endeavors. I will like him more in his future endeavors. You seem to have come around on him.
Yeah, I come around on him as a character. I mean, he's a horrible person. Like, I wouldn't want to be friends with him or have him like be dating someone who I'm close to. But in terms of a TV character, he's a lot of fun.
Yeah, no, I don't talk about any of these people as who they are as a person. Like, I'm saying as a character, I don't like it.
Okay.
Alex Panda Moran, who would you rather see on your TV again? Mike or Chuck? Or I'm sorry, Mike or Chuck and Brittany?
I mean, I guess Chuck and Brittany, just because they do. Mike is just like, I know he had like obviously this explosive moment here, but for the most part, he's kind of just been like a one note kind of dull person for the most part. Like, these confessionals are kind of boring. Like, at least Chuck and Brittany are like, even if they're bleh, like, at least they're something.
I totally disagree. I mean, I don't think any of these would be bad people to see again. I think Mike was. All of his moments were like not this moment, like his moments all before this, like when he was like that whole barista thing, I would move to Colorado for you. Like, he just jumps in with both feet. He drinks a lot. He cried in the confessional. He pops off. He's not afraid to get into these brawls. Oh, I don't mean with Amanda. I mean, just in general, I thought he had a lot to say. And he also like didn't just stick with one person. Like, he wasn't afraid to like step into the friend group, which I don't like personally, but I think he offered a lot more than Chuck or Brittany, who were just hooking up and being hypocritical when they stopped making out. Like, Chuck, the last few episodes has just kind of been hooking up with Brittany and saying like, relax, bro.
Sure. But I mean, he had a decent run of bouncing between people and causing a lot of stuff. So.
Yeah, but even in like a boring way, like I think the intrigue with Kiki and Chuck was Kiki, and the moment with Hannah and Chuck, it's like he took no responsibility for it. Like, at least Mike gets involved in his own shit. Like, Chuck would just let Brittany fight for him. So I think what I would rather see my Chuck and Brittany if they break up and come back for exes.
That could be
like
fun.
I don't want to see Mike and Amanda as an exes. I think that would be problematic.
No, that I don't think they would do that anyway. Oh, actually, maybe they would. But I think Chuck as a standalone.
Like, that's nice of you.
Chuck as a standalone person, I could be would be entertaining. Like, he would be entertaining.
See, I think Brittany is the standout there. If you have to pick one of them, I think Brittany is the character. I think Chuck has really faded into the background, and Chuck's like character depends on someone being into him, right? Like, what did he do independently?
I mean, what did Mike do independently?
Oh, Mike like exploded everywhere.
Yeah. But
he also had that whole thing with Connor where he was like being the alpha male and Hunter like got really pissed at him. So there's like some bro warfare there. Like, he was tough to get along with.
Oh, Chuck got into it. Chuck got into it with Alec.
Yeah, over Brittany.
I don't know. I guess. Whatever. It's fine. I'll take Chuck. Take Alice.
You know, that's fair. But if you're asking, you know, if you're asking me, like, that's... Yeah. It did happen. It might, you know, whatever. I can't see Chuck, and maybe I'm wrong, because he was good in these challenges for whatever that's worth. But I can see Mike getting more like butting heads with those alpha male guys on the challenge. And I can see Chuck kind of just being like low key, but who knows?
Who knows?
All right. So do you think after all, we really needed a reunion? Jamila Bain said, I don't know if I need a reunion, but I do need to watch an in-depth interview with the matchmakers. And my thinking was like, maybe after all, we really didn't need a reunion. What do you think?
I think it would have been nice to have one. I wouldn't like to hear, especially like the Kiki's, especially because she didn't know all the stuff that Devin apparently was doing. I would like to see that. I would like to just see maybe Amanda and Mike back together, see what would happen there. There's a few things I would like to see them touch on that maybe they didn't get this. Know what was happening during the time that they were in the house that they could see when they're watching back. I think having a reunion is always good. It helps close the book.
Well, back to, are we not seeing a reunion because they don't, there are certain people rumored to be on the challenge. They're not seeing these episodes until they air for the most part, or a little bit before they air. So we wouldn't get Kiki even knowing what Devin said.
Well, I do think they show clips for them to see when they go to the reunion, like what they're talking about and stuff. Like they definitely see stuff. So Kiki would know what Devin would say going into a reunion.
You would know this better than me, but like when they show clips, like, so you're saying that like they would show that and Kiki would just have her first raw reaction, like for some reason.
No, they definitely,
I don't feel like that's the case.
They would get, no, they, I can't 100% confirm this, but they get the episodes that they're going to be wherever they are in the season. Like they're going to see the rest of the episodes because they have to know what they're going to be talking about to talk about it. Like they can't be springing something on someone. So they're, they would, like if they had the reunion, let's say between episodes 5 and 6 and they filmed it, they would, whoever's at the reunion would see episodes 6 through 10. So they know exactly what they're going to be talking about.
I don't know. I just think like that all the interesting stuff could have been covered by like 3 people on an after show, because like, all right, so Ari the One put out this article about like, what are people up to? And like, okay, Chuck and Brittany are still together. Brittany moved to Hawaii. Case closed. Hannah moved to California. They're still together. Case closed. Connor and Chelsea, no surprise, not together. No one else is together because there's no even intrigue on if they would. Like, nobody's like, oh, I started dating this person because they were my perfect match. Mm-hmm. And then Kiki is saying, we dated for a while after the show. He came to visit me in Virginia. He met my family. But then once I saw the episode, it's over. He was trying to reach out to me. And since then, who knows? Like, so I don't know that there are really many stories to tell.
No, we probably wouldn't get much. Well, to be fair, reunions usually don't offer that much to begin with, but it always is just nice to just get it. It's a nice closure. So I wouldn't, I mean, I'm not devastated that we don't have one, but I would watch it if it was on.
Oh, I definitely would. I've watched a lot worse. So let's see. Next question. Bob Mary, are you surprised that some of the couples are still together? The non-match couples.
So the 2 couples, Zach and Hannah and Brittany and Hunter. I mean, Brittany and Chuck. I mean, I'm surprised Brittany and Chuck are together. I thought that would be just like a island fling. So that's kind of surprising.
I mean, I'm surprised that anyone's together after Are You the One. So good for them. I mean, they made it work in terms of like Kiki cited the distance as why her and Devin didn't work. Like, okay, no, it's because Devin's an asshole and he said a lot of shit about you. But anyway, and we'll get, I mean, the most interesting story is the Devin and Kiki one, and we're going to get that on Tuesday, which I'm stoked about. But if you're going to be willing to move, like the fact that there's no chance Brittany and Chuck would be together if Brittany didn't move to Hawaii. So there you go. Like, you know, we see people try to stay in their own home city and try to make it work, and then they fall apart. But now it's like both of these women move for the guy. So that doesn't surprise me then that it worked out for that reason. Okay. Alex Panda Moran wants to know, which pairs could you possibly see on a future challenge for potential rivals or exes?
Amanda and Mike potentially, but I don't see that. I'm trying to think of guy who are some guy on guy or girl on girl rivals from the season that there could be.
Same sex rivals?
Yeah. I feel like there weren't that many.
Mike and Hunter. They'll extrapolate like he accidentally spit on me and now he's my rival.
Right.
Like they do that all the time.
But there were some clear cut ones from last year, like a Leighton and an Anthony. Like that was a clear cut. Like they could easily be a rival together. Like here, I feel like a lot of the rivals were all exes stuff. You know, with Leighton screaming in Anthony's face.
Right. Well, when you said that, I had to think about it. Like that was, I mean, especially with the Are You the One people, it's like, they're not counting on people knowing the storyline.
True. Based on some of the possibilities that we might be getting for the next season.
I just mean in general, like who, you know, Simone and John Jacobs, like, are they the most like turbulent exes? No, they wanted them on the show. And like, right. So there it is. But yeah, I mean, you could even put Kiki and Hannah on as rivals over sure. The Chuck
thing. Right, yeah, that's one. Friends. That's fine. Yeah, you could do that.
Yeah. So let's see. I mean, Alec and Chuck, Chuck and Mike, like you could just make clips of them talking shit. They sure. did it. It's true. All righty. So I'm so sick of Stacey's tweets right now because she tweeted after she tweeted like a month long of like, I can't wait to be able to tell you guys everything. She tweets last night. I know you guys are curious, but I'm under contract. LOL. I can't reveal a lot of things for my own safety. Sorry.
I mean, she definitely got reamed the hell out by MTV for whatever, like her first round of tweets. Like they must have like really either fined her or threatened to like take away like all of her money or something like that.
She also, spoiled. I told you this, but she also spoiled Zach and Hannah not being a match because Zach posted a picture of Hunter and Stacy, Zach and Hannah, Nelson and Cheyenne, Kiki and Devin, Rashida and Tyler, and Chuck and Brittany all kissing. And someone tweeted about that to Stacy, and Stacy was like, "Oh yeah, those are all the non-match couples." And this was before episodes 9 and 10 aired. Like she just keeps screwing up.
Yeah, she's good for her that the season's over, so there's nothing else she can spoil.
Like, my God, truer words have never been spoken. So this is what I don't get. Maybe you can help me. So John Jacobs tweeted, "Yeah, it's rigged blatantly. Enjoy your $25,000 before taxes." Assuming that's a joke, but it wasn't a funny one.
Leighton tweeted that?
No, John Jacobs.
Sure. Enjoy it. I don't know. What's the joke?
And then Garland tweeted, all the cast of season 3 has to go knocking on Garland's door. Because he tweeted, they literally have only 2 people out the house. If they win, I'll give them $1,000 a piece. So, find out where he lives and go get your money.
You need that extra grand. Help cover the taxes. Garland's going to be at 20 grand.
Let's see. Oh, and then just a little bit. I'm going to wrap this up more quickly than I would if we had a reunion show. But not having a reunion also Fs with our flow. Because usually we go back and listen to the first podcast and then we laugh at ourselves. But just really quick, some highlights. Quit. Pop quiz. Who did you say was 100% going to be in a 2-guy, 1-girl love triangle?
Do I? 100%. I remember saying 100%.
Yeah, 10 multiple choice options.
I'll say Hunter.
You said Amanda was 100% going to be in a 2-guy, 1-girl love triangle. Epic fail.
Well, I mean, she sort of had Mike and Alec, sort of.
We probably did the worst. No, you were like right off the bat. I'm 100%. You were yeah. Funny. In the girl preview, you were like making wild accusations. It was amazing.
That's what you have to do. You go big, and then if you hit one, it's like amazing.
Who did you say, in terms of drama and craziness, there are other people who will overshadow her?
Melanie?
Brittany.
Oh, well, I was way wrong.
You said she was going to blow up or like, oh, I'm sorry. You said she was going to get into a match, like a hookup first night, and then she was going to get really upset when it like didn't work out, and then we wouldn't hear from her for a while.
Well, I was totally wrong.
I said, and trust me, I'm wrong later. I said that Britney's not going to be afraid to cause a stir, and I'm not buying her what she's selling. So
yeah, you can
I feel the same way. I didn't write exactly what I said, but it was a confirmed point. Chelsea was one of my biggest fails because all I did was talk about how much I loved her. And I also said that she won't be afraid. I also said she won't be afraid to hook up on the show because if you remember, all she does is talk about sex in her preview work. And that was a big fail. But one thing is I forgot this until now. Chelsea tweeted at me after this saying that I like really got her and like I nailed her 100% and like who she is. Okay. How quickly we forget.
The glory days.
Okay. I want to know about Hannah. Does she get any redemption from yawn that bitch? You didn't say that, bitch. She said that. She you just said yawn.
I said she would be yawn. No, she was good. I mean, I think her story definitely yawned in the second half when she fell in love with Zach, which, you know, kudos to you. Go do you. But I mean, for the second half, she was a yawn. But no, she was good. She was fun.
And then you even went as far as to say, why did she get gassed?
No, did I really say that?
You said because we were saying, in so many words you said it, we were saying that she had no responses. Like, all of her responses were like, where's the weirdest place I've ever had sex? I haven't. Like, oh, do I have sex music? No, I don't. Like,
I was really deep there.
You were like, do you think the producers are just like, why did we even cast her?
I totally deserved the yawn that bitch. I was really mean.
Okay,
I stand by everything, though.
So, do you remember who the girl was with the most thorough LinkedIn?
Oh, it wasn't Rashida, was it?
Nope, it was Kayla.
Was it really? Wow. I don't remember any of this.
This was one of your best calls. You said that Cheyenne was going to make a lot of money on The Rue, and she made money from me directly on The Rue. So, ding, ding, ding.
I'll take it. I didn't see that coming.
All right. Who did you call Ms. Irrelevant?
Oh, that I said Melanie.
Okay, you remember that.
Yeah.
And do you recall one contestant, your biggest grievance was that he or she had a small head and a disproportionate body.
Alec. I stand by that.
Did that continue to bother you throughout the season?
It was mainly in his picture, but I stand by his head not fitting his body.
And then some other good calls. Brian, you said that Brittany and Hunter would be an early match. Which, like, in so many ways that they were. And then, I don't know how, but you saying that, my response was, I could see more Hannah and Hunter. I still, now that I've seen the whole season, I wouldn't have said that. I did a better job making a match based on the bio than 10 weeks of television. My reasoning was that Brittany's too crazy and Hunter is simple. So I guess I thought Hannah was simple. Okay, so one thing is I said they'll be drawn to people right away who aren't their perfect match, and because none of these people clearly make sense, and you agreed and said it would just be like pulling out of a hat. So
or flipping double a coin. Ding.
And my big prediction was that Amanda and Connor were going to have a connection. And then I said, or Mike, but I was really pushing the Connor thing, so I won't give myself credit. And you said that Mike and Kayla were going to hook up the first episode, which is also half credit.
Because
they did eventually find their way to each other.
The last episode. Overall,
I don't track it every season, but I do feel like this was one of the worst we were with predictions.
Oh, yeah, we were definitely. I feel like we're a lot better. The thing with Seth last season was we were really good in terms of getting where the storylines were. We were just really wrong if there would be matches or not. Like, I think we hit almost all like the big couples that failed last season, which I almost give us more credit for.
Well, then it also adds up to in terms of like why the season made no sense in terms of like the matches at the end. Like, we were basically saying it would be like, you know, picking names out of a hat to make these pairs matches.
Yep, exactly.
That's all I have for you.
Wow, that's it.
Signed, sealed, delivered.
Are You the One, season 3. Close the book. They never gave up on love. If I never hear that phrase again, it'll be too soon. But we will and be... Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, they aired a challenge preview, but I'm on sabbatical. So I will watch that when it comes closer to us needing to do our preview podcast, which is coming up, but
coming up very soon.
I will take the few days off that we deserve.
I have not watched that yet either. I passed out the second the flashing lights went off. I went to sleep. I haven't watched it yet. I'll watch it this weekend. But yeah, the challenge is, it's not too far off. December 2nd is less than 2 weeks away. And with Thanksgiving next week, it's going to be here in a hurry. So we'll be back here for that. Like we said, we'll be interviewing Kiki next week. So we'll post a thread for questions there, which will officially close the book on Are You the One Season 3. And then the challenge Bloodlines will be coming up next. You can stay in touch with everything we're doing by subscribing at robinswebsite.com/challengeiTunes, or by following me on Twitter at BusDriversRoute, or by following you.
I'm on sabbatical, so no, I'm kidding. Follow me. It's not a sabbatical, it's vacation. Follow me at LashTweets.
And before our connection dies off again, let's just put this in the books. Are You the One Season 3 is done. We will be back next week with Kiki and then the challenge Bloodline. So until then, have a good
one. Wait. If you want to get, when we do deliver our content on the challenge, same thread, robhasawebsite.com/challengeiTunes. Subscribe.
It would be really fun if our challenge thread was under robhaswebsite.com/areyoutheoneiTunes.
We've expanded, so we are the MTV reality TV wrap up, but we're keeping our home thread.
Our home thread, challenge iTunes. Now, we'll see you next time. Till then, have a good one.
Bye.